This is the podcast for JNS Spine. Welcome to the JNS Spine podcast for September 7th, 2012. I'm Natalie Pynchon. I will be reading a summary of an article on oncology and a general interest article published today. Pathophysiology of Primary Spinal Syringomyelia, a clinical article by John Heiss and colleagues. To elucidate the pathophysiology of primary spinal syringomyelia, the authors prospectively studied 36 adult patients with syringomyelia associated with lesions obstructing the spinal subarachnoid space. They performed neurological examinations, anatomical MRI, cine-MRI cerebrospinal fluid flow studies, CT myelography, and cervical and lumbar cerebrospinal fluid pressure measurements. These studies were performed before and after surgery. Additionally, cerebrospinal fluid pressure recordings and ultrasonography were performed during surgery. Patient values were compared to values previously obtained for cerebrospinal fluid flow and pressure in healthy volunteers. In syringomyelia patients compared to healthy volunteers, cervical subarachnoid pulse pressure was increased. Pressure transmission to the thecal sac below the block was reduced, and spinal cerebrospinal fluid compliance was decreased. Cerebrospinal fluid pressure waves produced pulsatile compression of the spinal cord and syrinx superior to obstructions of the subarachnoid space. These findings support the theory that a spinal subarachnoid block increases spinal subarachnoid pulse pressure above a spinal block, and this in turn drives CSF into the spinal cord and results in syrinx formation and progression. Increased spinal subarachnoid pulse pressure and pulsatile syrinx compression were similarly observed in the authors' previous studies that examined the pathophysiology of syringomyelia associated with Chiari type 1 malformation. They indicate that a common mechanism, rather than different separate mechanisms, underlies syrinx formation in these two entities. Leptomeningeal spinal metastases from glioblastoma multiforme. Treatment and management of an uncommon manifestation of disease. A review article by Court Lawton and co-authors. In this report, the authors review the occurrence of glioblastoma multiforme in the form of metastatic spread to the spine. Although they focus much attention on the lumbosacral spine, the current literature covering all locations of leptomeningeal spread is considered as well. They chronicle all reported cases and discuss the occurrence, location, and presentation of the disease. Further, they present a unique case of spinal glioblastoma multiforme that spread to the lumbosacral spine, specifically the L5 nerve root. This event took place after a primary cerebral recurrence as well as adjuvant treatments. The authors describe a minimally invasive approach as a novel means of diagnosis through biopsy. Thank you for listening. Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group podcasts are contained in the American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes to access all our podcasts and videos. all updated continuously. You can also follow the Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group on Twitter and now also on Facebook. To read articles published this week in any of our journals, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org.